I'm Austin Lugo.
I'm Andrew Harp.
This is With Nothing to Say.
Let's talk about The American Friend.
Before we get into The American Friend, next week we are going to be watching The Holy Mountain. We are always on the lookout for genres of films, types of films that we haven't watched before. And we realize that we have watched no Spanish-speaking films in our entire podcast filmography. So we tried to fill up that hole with this film. This is a film you have seen before. Is there any particular reason you picked this film, Andrew?
Well, we were having a hard time picking a movie. and I was like, well, you know, Holy Mountain is a good movie that everyone should watch and that I wouldn't mind watching it again. I wouldn't mind watching it several more times. It's very good.
I'm very excited for that experience. I'm sure it'll be a grand time. But this week, we are watching, or rather, we just watched Wim Wenders' The American Friend. Andrew, you've seen two Wim Wenders films, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen one of his features, Paris, Texas, which I watched that in college, so it's been a few years. But I mean, that's like one of the greatest movies ever made. And I've seen his documentary, Buena Vista Social Club, which is the documentary, of course, that he made about the album, which is also pretty good. So yeah, I mean, like, I've seen some of his works, but he has like a bunch of features and I've only seen that one. So this is probably like the second, maybe third feature I've seen by him.
I too have seen very few of his work. For some reason, I always get him confused with Werner Herzog. Maybe it's just because they're both German filmmakers.
I get him confused with Jonathan Demme for some reason.
Yeah, I think thematically, or maybe there's just something about German filmmakers of this time, because all of the German filmmakers I've watched of like the 60s, 70s, and 80s, they all have a very specific type of filmmaking techniques, and the themes that they cover are very similar. And maybe it's just because Germany at this point in time was in a very complicated spot with the Berlin Wall and all that kind of stuff. But before this film, I too had only seen two Wim Wenders films. I had seen Paris, Texas, like you have seen, and I saw The Wings of Desire, which, as I've mentioned before, I've seen that film like six or seven times. An incredibly beautiful film, extremely well-written film. So I was super excited to get into this experience.
You're probably getting them confused too, because Wenders and Herzog, I mean, they still work, and they worked for several decades, and they both made a lot of features and documentaries. Like, they're both known for their features and documentaries.
So Wim Wenders' The American Friend starts off with the great Dennis Hopper, our American friend.
Easily one of the greatest, if not the greatest, like, American actor that ever worked.
So incredible. In preparation for this film, I watched some of the extra stuff that the Criterion Collection always gives, some of the interviews that they do with actors and that sort of thing. And one of the interviews was with Wim Wenders himself. And he talks about the experience of working with Dennis Hopper. And Dennis Hopper actually wasn't his first choice. His first choice was John Huston, but John Huston immediately shut it down. He's like, I don't want to do this. I have no interest in it. And so Wim Wenders is looking around and someone suggests that he go and meet Dennis Hopper. And at the time, Dennis Hopper had just finished shooting Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, which that shoot was over almost 300 days, I believe.
And famously, an awful shoot. Just a terrible experience.
I've watched Out of Darkness. Wait, no. Yeah, with the documentary about the production of Apocalypse Now. I don't think it's called Out of Darkness. Heart of Darkness, yeah. And the documentary about Apocalypse Now, like, just mostly just like the production and shooting that they did in the Philippines and stuff. And in that movie, Dennis Hopper plays a photographer, and has the funniest cut ever, because they're showing behind the scenes footage of Dennis Hopper, and it's just behind the scene footage, but he acts like his character in the movie. Like, he's really like hopped up on something. Like, he really is on drugs, you can tell. And then it cuts to Dennis Hopper like in the 90s or whatever, when they made the movie, and he's totally chill, just sitting in his chair like, yep, that was crazy. I was not doing well. Because, like, I think during this time, I think he was heavily on drugs and just kind of temperamental. And then I think later, I think he was able to get clean. And then he had his, like, kind of big come up, you know, where he was in, like, Blue Velvet and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, Wim Wenders describes meeting Dennis Hopper for the first time They'd already started shooting for 2 weeks. And what's interesting about this film is our two main characters, the American friend played by Dennis Hopper, and our protagonist, who's, I can't remember the name of the actor at the moment.
Bruno Gaines.
Yes, Bruno Gaines. This is one of Bruno's very first films. So he's a very new actor at this time. He hasn't done a whole lot of work. He's extremely prepared and ready. And Dennis Hopper, upon first meeting Wim Wenders, is high as fuck, as Wim Wenders describes it.
Definitely, yeah.
He's still in whatever character he's playing from Apocalypse Now. He is not in a good place at all. He's 2 weeks late for the shoot, and he is just acting like the shittiest human being on earth, just in a really bad place. And Wim Wenders is absolutely just pissed off because the two actors at first do not get along at all because they're just butting heads. They're very different people. And they get into this huge fight on set. You know, they're throwing punches at each other. I mean, really just going at it. So Wim Wenders kicks them off. You know, he shuts down the film for a couple of days. And I guess that night, the two of them, Dennis Hopper and Bruno, go and just get absolutely wasted and become the best of friends. And yep. I guess for whatever reason,
that's basically like the movie. It like completely makes sense. That's probably the best part of the movie is their dynamic and their friendship, their quote unquote friendship. It's the best part of the movie for sure. They're so good together and individually.
Absolutely. So you got Dennis Hopper, who is selling forged paintings.
Yeah, he's rich as fuck.
Well, they're not forged. They're kind of, it's weird. But the painter is the actual like original painter, but he's pretending to be dead. And so he paints his own paintings and then sells them to rich people, which that whole plotline is very weird and strange. I don't quite understand why. I guess the painter pretends to be dead because he makes more money that way. If he's dead, then like Vivi is still living, making paintings.
I didn't realize that he was pretending to be dead. I thought it was just like a very good like forger.
That's what I thought at first, too. I actually only learned that from the documentary that I watched because Wim Wenders mentions that.
Maybe it's more described in the book than in the movie.
Probably.
Maybe the movie is more. It doesn't really matter either way, to be honest.
No. The point is the guy's forging paintings.
And the other thing about this movie is that that forger is played by Nicholas Ray, who he's like in the movie for like 2 minutes. But it's like, oh, yeah, it's Nicholas Ray because he's got his like eye patch and everything going on. The movie is actually like the movie's kind of weird because